Hey, good morning, everybody. So Chamishya Baloscha. So you have the Nesi'as HaMachanos, and the Nesi'im are repeated within the context. The Ramban very beautifully explains that even though we, of course, know Nachshon ben Aminadav, Nesan al-Ben Tzur, Eliyahu ben Chilon, Elitzur ben Shteyur, and you know, the entire lineup, but they're being repeated again, so we shouldn't think that like, you know, they had some delegate and some lackey who would lead the Jewish people in motion, that the Nasi was Berosh Tzva'am. That's sort of a comment on leadership. The second aspect of the Aliyah is the very ambiguous, I guess appropriately ambiguous, for such an enigmatic person, story of Yisro. The Ramban thinks in the end that Yisro went, the Sforno thinks that Yisro went home. But the question is, you know, sort of what motivated Moshe. One approach is that Rashi says that any davar that we're mesupak about, so you'll be able to illuminate for us. It might be a practical consideration. There's another perspective, which is that it's Moshe with a very deep bond with Yisrael. Moshe is deeply bonded with Yisrael. At a personal level, we never in the Torah see once and Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to his wife or children. The closest thing we have is Zipporah saying something in direct proximity about Moshe Rabbeinu, Chasan Damim Atali, Chasan Damim Ambulos, but really don't have, you know, any kind of personal interactions. But, you know, we do have very much in terms of Moshe, and his father-in-law. It was almost an afterthought, but there's a sense of deep, bonding there. So that'd be another potential approach. The third approach is really, I think, very fascinating, that of the Sforno. The Sforno says, okay, if, you know, Moshe was reconciling himself to the fact that Yisro might indeed want to go home, but that if nobody from Yisro's family would stay, that there would be a theological cost, and one that Moshe wasn't prepared to pay. Right, that is what everybody agreed to, that if Yisro would go home, then his family would stay, because then it would be a very clear indication that the family, you know, deeply valued what it was that they had been exposed to. So again, there are many, many possibilities. I mean, you know, he could have gone, and the later generation family could have come back. But again, you know, I think the approach of the Sforno is sort of very fascinating, not so much for the particular fact pattern that he describes, which can always be debated. You know, the Ramban thinks that Yisro himself stayed. Maybe others would suggest that he went back and forth. The Ramban raises that idea in Sefer Shmos itself. But point is that, you know, for Moshe, the consideration here wouldn't be personal. It wouldn't even be pragmatic. But it's really a matter of, you know, Kvod Shamayim. Because we don't want anybody to say that, this is just Yisro's latest stop, you know, he's moved on, you know, he was once, you know, contemplating Judaism, now he's back to Zoroastrianism, or Ki Gadol Shem Yikol Elohim, Pit Pema, Elohim, I should say, Pit Peta, Agalim Avodah Zarah. So as to avoid that possibility, the Kvod Shamayim for Moshe was the dispositive arrangement, not the personal factor, or even the pragmatic factor of, Ta'ir,